dependence. Dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that he may open up and apply his holy and sacred word to each one of us. That's your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read, the book of Joshua, chapter 15 and verse 19. Who answered, that is Caleb's daughter, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. The children of Israel had come 40 years through the wilderness from Egypt, and were now in Canaan of the promised land. Dear friends, through those 40 years, the children of Israel had been very sinful. They had disobeyed the word of God. They had desired to go their own ways and did that which was against the will of their God, even against the promise of their God. Oh, how remarkable was their lack of faith. And yet we read, as they journeyed, as the psalmist puts it, there was many a time when the Lord forgave them. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Dear friends, if it wasn't for the mercy of a covenant God towards his people, everyone, wouldn't they, would perish and dying in their sin. There would be no provision for them, whether upon this earth or in eternity to come. But the Lord was faithful, a keeper of his covenant, and he brought them into the promised land. Before they crossed over Jordan, Moses, who was told by God that Canaan, the promised land, would be divided by lot, he allocated to those 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, land on the east side of the river Jordan, mainly the land of Ammon. But the other tribes were allocated their inheritance on the west side of the river Jordan. And it was Joshua who would allocate that land to them as the Lord would lead him. We've read this morning of the allocation of the land of Judah. And we might say, well, why are such details left on record in the Holy Scriptures, in the Word of God? I don't suppose, naturally speaking, we find them interesting. I'm sure they're just words on a page. Very rarely would we look at an atlas and trace through the places which are mentioned, which define the borders of each of the tribes. But dear friends, these things are recorded for a purpose. It shows, dear friends, the intricate knowledge and will and sovereignty of God toward his people, that all things are determined in accordance with his will. We have the expression, don't we, life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And dear friends, not only was the promised land subject to the Lord's eye as he had determined he would give it to the sons of Jacob, but the exercise of his will would be fulfilled also. Every one had their determined place of abode. And so we find it marked out in detail, the boundaries of each of the tribes. And their habitation, dear friends, was fixed. They were not to exchange that which God had given them in their inheritance. They were to receive it without question. They were to live there within it. They were not to sell it. They were not to depart from it. It was what the Lord had given them. You know, dear friends, that's got an application to us today, hasn't it? At where we are, where the Lord has appointed us to live, our habitation. You know, when Paul went to Athens and he was on Mars Hill speaking there to the wise men of the Greeks, he said, rather these things, God that made the world and all things therein, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And the bounds of their habitation. Dear friends, it's not by chance that we've been born in this particular land. It's not by chance we've been born at this particular time. It's not by chance all the circumstances of our lives that come and affect and influence upon us. Everything is of God. Oh, it does well for us to remember this, doesn't it? We may well grumble and repine about many things. Yes, of our own nation, as well as that in our personal lives and circumstances. But dear friends, we have so much to thank the Lord for. Forget not all his benefits. We're to bless the Lord, O our soul, for that which we can claim and know and testify what he hath given to us. Oh, when we look at other parts of the world, other nations, oh, what distress so many millions of people live in day by day. And we can take so much, as it were, for granted, can't we? And oh, we do not return thanks unto God as we should. Dear friends, the details of our lives are determined by the hand of the will of God. Then let us submit ourselves to them, casting upon him all our care. There's a time for us to be born, there's a time for us to die, and there's a time for all things between those two events. And as Solomon says in the Ecclesiastes, so many opposites. Time for one thing and then a time for another. Time for that against one and time in favour of another and so forth. And we have our circumstances and our times upon us today. Oh, let us ever commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, for him to bring it to pass. That which is of his will concerning us. And when we ask not to be without thanksgiving, oh, the Lord ever keep us in his care. Within the tribe of Judah, there was a family of Caleb. Now Caleb, together with Joshua, was the only two who came out of Egypt, who saw that great deliverance through the shedding of the blood of the Paschal Lamb and the judgment of God destroying the firstborn of all those who did not shelter beneath the blood of the Lamb. They were the only two that journeyed throughout the 40 years and entered into the Promised Land. The account of Caleb says he followed the Lord fully, as did Joshua. They were men of faith. And the great distinction came when the Lord said to the children of Israel through Moses, when they were in Kadesh Barnea, go up and possess the land which he had promised to them. They sent the spies to spy out the land. And they came back with good report and evil report. A good report was it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And the evil report, there was giants in the land and the cities were walled up high. And so their fears prevailed that it was not possible for them to conquer and take the promised land. Dear friends, the Lord never gave it into their hands, did he? He said he would provide it, he would give it, he would cause it to come to pass. Joshua and Caleb, with that precious gift by the Holy Spirit of faith, believed that it would be well, even though all seemed naturally speaking against them. They believed what the Lord said to Jeremiah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, with men things are impossible, but not with God. Not where it is will. Not where is the fulfilling of his promise. Well, dear friends, those who disbelieved, who only reasoned by their own understanding, their own intellect, where there was no faith, they perished in the wilderness. Some solemn lesson there, isn't there? The Lord may bring us into circumstances where things seem impossible, too hard, too much against us, enemies. And yet, dear friends, if it's the word of the Lord to press on and to go forth, is to be in faith, trusting in his promise, in his the way that he would have us go. how solemn to reason with our own intellect because of the difficulties and the hardships in the way of truth, especially in the way of which his word is the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we turn about from it because it's not in our understanding that it can be done. Dear friends, we need to pray earnestly, don't we, for the faith of Joshua and for the faith of Caleb. And they came into the promised land. Dear friends, there's some solemn teaching in these things, isn't there? If we're left to our own selves, no matter what prosperity or good things and successes we have in our earthly lives, if it's only of our own works, and we have no faith to follow in the ways of the Lord, then can we expect the promised land? Caleb entered the promised land, and before he did so, he was given a promise by Moses that he would possess the part of the promised land where his feet had walked on when he went with the spies to search it out. And now they'd come into the land. And Caleb says to Joshua give him this land. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Joshua gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. There we see the victory by faith. It was the sons of Anak who those unbelieving Jews feared when they were at Kadesh Barnea. But dear friends, where the Lord had gone before them and in faith, they succeeded in removing all those obstacles, all those enemies, all that was against them, and began to dwell in the land. Dear friends, for the prayer of faith. Caleb then began to settle in Hebron and the area round about. This was his inheritance of a family, because the whole of Judah was divided up family to family. They all had their possession. And dear friends, it was the tradition that when the father of a family, the head of the family, died, then the head of the family would be his son, the firstborn. And when he died, it would pass to his firstborn. It's like that with the monarchs of a nation, of our nation, isn't it? If there is a man-child, the head, the firstborn, and then that follows on as the monarch of the previous one. But sometimes there is no a male child. And it was with the case of Israel. And they came to Moses before they came to the promised land because of that instruction, and they said, the Zelophehad only has daughters. Who shall have his inheritance when he dies. And Moses inquired of the Lord and said, the possession shall go to the daughters. They shall become the head of that possession. And then the question was asked, but if that daughter then marries a man from another Jewish tribe, that possession will pass to a man of the other Jewish tribe, especially when they have a son and the father dies. That son will be of the tribe of his father. And then the possession of the daughter, of the mother, would go to the other tribe. Therefore there'll be a division and a breakup of the tribes which the Lord had defined for them. So there were restrictions. A place that those daughters would only have to marry from within their own tribe. They couldn't marry from another tribe. So the possession was kept within the bounds of which the Lord had defined for them. You know, dear friends, in our lives there are bounds, aren't there, which have to be kept. We're not to pass over them. The Lord has defined in his word all the boundaries of our behaviour and our conduct. We're not to surpass them. We're not to go over them. Oh, dear friends, it's dangerous to go over beyond where the Lord would have us. Oh, I always remember driving once to Leicester, and it was an October, I think, time. It was an evening and there was a queue of traffic, and after a while the traffic moved and the hindrance had been a sheep. A sheep which had escaped from the field, gone beyond the boundary, entered the road and had got killed. Yeah, friends, it's dangerous to go beyond the boundaries which are set, isn't it? They're set there for a purpose. They're set for safety and for keeping in the way where we ought to be. All you children, do keep within the bounds of the Word of God. There is your safety. Oh, there's so many temptations and enticements today to depart from the Word of God and go one's own way. Those are the ways of danger, the danger of destruction and the days of despair. Oh, do keep to the right way, the way of the Word of God. And each of us, no matter what our age, to be kept there. Now, Caleb had a daughter. His daughter, who he gave unto Othniel, who had taken Kirjath-Sefer, as they Deborah, on his behalf. We must think that Caleb was 85 years old at this stage. Yes, he still had strength to oust the sons of Anak, but perhaps he needed someone else to fight this battle for him. And the promise was to give him Aksar, his daughter, to wife. And when she came to him, to her husband, she moved him, she persuaded him, that is, to ask her father a field. She wanted a possession. That word field means really a place of land which one can spread out in. She could be given one because she'd married one of the same tribe. She hadn't married someone of another tribe. And her father gave her the Southland. Now, dear friends, the Southland would be a very dry and barren land. Caleb was given Hebron. Deborah was south of Hebron. And you're coming into the wilderness, the barren parts of the south of Israel. And although she had her possession, she needed that which was for the sustaining of life. And she herself came to Caleb and said, "Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Dear friends, through that gift, what a blessing it was. It was the blessing of life. The sustaining, maintaining of life. For where there is no water, there cannot be any sustaining of life. Oh, the children of Israel needed it all their journey through the wilderness. And it came from the rock which was smitten by Moses. And we're told that the rock that followed them, it was Christ. here in the promised land. Oh, they needed the same water if they would continue to live. And so this blessing, this gift, was the gift of life. Thou hast given me a southland. Give me a blessing. Give me also, thou give me a blessing. Thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her her petition. Dear friends, there's a beautiful spiritual type here, isn't there? Dear friends, I've spoken about our providential circumstances as where we are. Is it a southland, spiritually, for our souls? There's nothing, is there, in the, even in the providence and the affluence of our earthly life that can satisfy the need of our soul when we know we are dead in trespasses and in sins. There's nothing here can satisfy, as the hymn writer put it. It's give me Christ, or else I die. Give me a blessing. Oh, dear friends, is this your prayer? We may have many earthly blessings. We may have many providential blessings, and we have to thank the Lord for all his benefits toward us. But do we pray for the blessing of our soul? Give me a blessing. Give me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy heavenly love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Give me a blessing. He gave her a double blessing. He gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Dear friends, those upper springs would be those which came more directly from the rains from heaven, directly down. And the nether springs, being the lower springs, would be those which had passed through that the earth of that southland and would bubble up to provide a spring of water. Dear friends, I believe here we see the heavenly blessings, and that through his providential blessings. Oh, we're living in a barren land, aren't we, spiritually? But dear friends, the Lord hears those prayers of those needy ones who need life for their soul and cry out, Lord, give me a blessing. Only he can. And dear friends, are the blessings of his sovereign grace, of his mercy, of his pardoning love. That voice of love and mercy that flows from Calvary. Give me a blessing. Dear friends, if there was no blessing such as that flowing down from heaven, then would we remain, wouldn't we, barren, dry, hard, no life within, only dead, deadness. Oh, the blessed Spirit of God that imparts redeeming love unto those that plead with him for pardon. Dear friends, who can need it more than we? We are sinners. Oh, Lord, give me a blessing. Speak pardon and peace unto my soul. Dear friends, when you know your own heart hard, dry, barren, and the things of this world in your nature and the things around you in providence do not give you any satisfaction at all. Then, dear friends, it's the singleness of your cry, isn't it? Lord, be merciful unto me. Lord, do appear unto me in the power of thy love to pardon my sins, the riches of thy grace. May I be one that knows, oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for my sake he became poor, that he and that I, by his poverty, might be made rich. Dear friends, that's life divine, isn't it? That's the gift of eternal life. That brings joy, that brings happiness, that brings comfort, it brings peace. In spite of the nature of the land around you, which you're still living in. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is pardoned. Oh, dear friends, there are so many blessings the Lord gives, but there's no greater blessing than the forgiveness of your sins and the joy and the contentment, the happiness, the peace that is bestowed within. Well, it gives you the strength then, doesn't it, friends, to handle all the matters of our earthly life, this dry and barren southland through which we are passing through in our flesh. Yes, it's the comfort of our soul. He gave her the upper springs, and he gave her also the nether springs, the lower springs. You know, dear friends, as we journey through life, don't we need to know the Lord's blessing on all aspects of our daily lives? Don't we need to know that our times definitely are in his hand? All things are at his command. That he's the sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All our times in his hand, all events at his command. Oh, there may be those difficulties and troubles which come. And dear friends, we're to pray to the Lord in them, aren't we? Trusting in him. To call upon him in the day of trouble. And dear friends, when he answers that prayer, he delivers you. And he strengthens you to bear it. And whatever his answer may be. Dear friends, there's the nether spring. Bubbling up out of the things we experience here in our lives, to know that the Lord's grace, oh, is yet with us and upon us. His grace is sufficient for us. Yes, the upper springs and the nether springs. The Lord is in all things concerning us. Give me a blessing. Lord, be in all things. Then, dear friends, we can't separate providence and grace, can we? Everything centres upon the blessing of God through the gift of his Son. And there is all of our joy, our peace, our happiness. As Paul said, wasn't it? He had learned in all things to be content. Oh, we'd receive the blessing of God when he was called by grace. And oh, the evidence of the Lord with him in all the difficulties and troubles he had to face as he walked the pathway the Lord would have him go. Then, dear friends, to God is all the glory, isn't it? Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, thou shalt glorify me. And then just goes to the words of Jesus when he met that woman of Samaria at the well who came to draw water. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Thou wouldst have asked of him. Well, dear friends, this is the blessing, isn't it? Living water. The truth as it is in Jesus, to be revealed in us, in the fullness of the blessing, the forgiveness of our sin. And it's a living water, it's ever-flowing water, ever-flowing, never becoming dry, no drought. Ever there, all our lives. Welling up within us. Oh, the truth of Jesus Christ in us. The hope of glory. Jesus said to the woman, "Whosoever drinketh of this water that is from the well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, dear friends, these are the upper springs, aren't they? A confirming of our hope of eternal life, that Christ has suffered for us, paid the price of our sin, hath gone before us in the power of his resurrection, and ascended on high, led captivity captive, to receive us in that last day, in that place which he's gone to prepare for us, and there to be with him forevermore. This well of water, the well of the waters of his love, mercy and grace. Oh, how sweet, dear friends, is that taste. Yes, and then the other one. We read of it, don't we, in Psalm 46, which speaks of providential troubles. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He goes through the fears we have and things of this, circumstances of our lives being shaken, and dear friends, dreadful things can come to pass, and it shakes our comfort and our existence in this life, don't they? But a very present help in trouble. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There, dear friends, is his people. And therefore his people is a river. The streams, these streams really mean the irrigation channels, which flow from the river of his love. These shall make glad, they will revive, they will fresh renew the faith and the hope in the times of trouble. Or they'll be able to partake of the precious promises by faith, the nether springs, to help us throughout the days of our lives. And then we prove, don't we, Christ is all and in all, spiritually and providentially. Oh, to be one, dear friends, with Jesus. Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. Well, dear friends, may that be our prayers. And may we know the answer to that, whatever the circumstances, whenever they arise. Dear friends, we know that the bounds of our habitation is fixed. In physical terms, some are much wider than others. The Apostle Paul had a much wider bound, a much wider field, as we might say, than many of the others. Some were contained to their own areas, in their own churches, weren't they, to where he preached. But he was sent forth, and in fact, we've all got our particular pathways. We've all got our particular extents of where the Lord would have us go. Our times are in his hand, all things are at his command. But dear friends, in the midst of all things, whether good or bad, as we might judge them in our own selves, things that are easy, things that are difficult, dear friends, the essential thing, always to know the spirit of the grace of God in everything. That gift of faith, to trust in him at all times. Or to receive again and again this blessing of the throne of grace, where we can pour out our hearts before him. There obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Living water, ever welling up for the life of our soul and for the strength of life's pathway. Well, dear friends, may we be given the spirit of Aksar, living in a southland, dry and barren, but spiritually, to ask for a blessing and the Lord to impart it with that living water which is through the truth of Christ himself to our eternal life. The Lord bless you each, and may the Lord grant it to you. Amen.